Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Worship to your name. Adoration to your name. Speak to God and ask him to speak to you tonight. Father, speak to me tonight. Do something new in my life tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person live here the same way they have come tonight. Let today be a defining moment in the life of someone. To the glory of your name, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. I believe that God has brought us here to give us very, very intense instruction that will change our lives. Before we go tonight, I want us to review what we did last month. And if the ICT can help display on the screen. That's what was our anchor scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Just go ahead, like we normally do. Kingdom financial authorities. That everything on the earth belongs to God, and that includes money and every deposit on the earth. That it is God's perfect will for his people to control the resources of the earth. That supernatural supply or prosperity is not a promise to claim, but a covenant to operate in. You don't pray about it, you just walk in the covenant. That the most important thing about supernatural supply or prosperity is quality relationship with God. Quality love relationship with God will always translate into generosity and liberality towards God. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then we said, the highest form of giving is the giving of one's heart to God. The tithe is not just a giving, but an obligation for covenant connection. Then giving God one's time, energy, talent, and resources are acts of worship. We moved on to scriptural examples of financial authority. First was Jesus Christ, who summoned resources every time. He never begged, he never borrowed, he had everything. We have Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, that ministered to Jesus of their substance. We have the centurion who single-handedly built a church. He loved us, he has built us in a synagogue. We have the owner of the upper room who gave the place for the Passover and probably also for the day of Pentecost, the owner of the upper room, and then we have the owner of the donkey tied on the street. We have that. And then Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible called him the rich man, who was also Jesus' disciple, who came to Pilate and demanded for the body of Jesus, and it was handed to him. He was, on record, a rich disciple. Then we have the Shunammite woman, who was, the Bible called her a great woman. She was so great, very, very notable. When Elijah told her, should I talk to the king for you? He said, no, I know the king myself. And she had enough substance to build the prophetic house, and that changed her story. We had then examples when revival commanded the flow of resources. Because we said then that every time there is spiritual intensity, there is also supernatural prosperity. When Israel left Egypt, the resources flowed. They left with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among them. When they are in the Acts of the Apostles, as the power multiplied, the resources also flowed. And then, he's given a calling. Yes, there are people with a giving mantle. We saw that, we saw that in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, where it said that having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, if yours is prophecy, prophesy. According to the proportion of grace, ministry, that is service, wait on ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, and so on and so forth. So we saw that giving is a calling aside any other gifting. And then Examples of kingdom financial authorities: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Job, people who commanded resources, the Queen Esther, Mordecai, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, David, Solomon. We saw them. And then contemporary examples of kingdom financial authority: Will Keith Kellogg, or the Kellogg's conflicts. They showed us pictures of them the other day. Henry Parsons Cromwell, Quaker Oats, Albert Hyde of the Mentholatum, William Colgate Toothpaste, John Cash Penny, the Penny Stores. We have Matthias William Baldwin of the Locomotive Engine. We have Robert Gilmore Letourneur, who did the earth-moving machines, the cranes, the bulldozers, and those things. He's the inventor and manufacturer of them. The Wallace Johnson of the Holiday Inns, and then, of course, John Davidson Rockefeller of the Rockefeller Foundation. These were people who were solid Christians, solid in God, and also were people who were financial authorities and impacted their world and impacted the kingdom above all with finances. Right. And then the purpose of kingdom wealth was where we ended last month. First of all, we said it was that supernatural abundance is God's will for his people, for his children. Supernatural abundance. Second, we said that supernatural abundance brings God glory. When the people of God have supernatural abundance, it brings God glory. Thirdly, supernatural abundance is a reflection of the character of God. It reflects the character of God. Number four, supernatural abundance facilitates spiritual focus. There is nothing that causes distraction like lack of resources. Supernatural abundance is evangelistic in impact. It's evangelistic in impact. Number six, supernatural abundance is part of the fulfillment of the purpose of redemption. I think that was where we stopped. Now, look at the scripture there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You through his poverty might be rich. Saying with a loud voice, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. We saw all of that. And then we arrived at the conclusion that if we are to be kingdom financial authorities, we should possess the revelation of what we've been saying, and then also possess the decision and determination. Look, I can't be poor, and then, of course, commence the action. We said all of that. Now, I am going to go further maintain your consecration. That's right. Maintain your consecration. Was that the final point? Maintain your consecration. I am going to go beyond that because we stopped at point number six and we had up to almost 15 or more or 20 to go or 15 or more. So we are going to go over them. Some of them might appear like it's a repetition of a previous point, but they are different. They are slightly different. The purpose of supernatural or financial abundance. Let me take a look at number six again. Supernatural abundance is part. All right. Number seven, supernatural abundance of financial appointment. Empowerment, sorry. Supernatural abundance of financial appointment, empowerment, gives God's people access to the wealth of their Father. Supernatural abundance or financial empowerment gives God's people access to the wealth of their Father. Psalm 24 verse 1 said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Psalm 50 verse 12 says, if I were hungry, I will not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. If God owns the earth, it is an abomination for the enemies of God to own the property of God. If God owns the universe, it is an abomination for the children of God's enemies, of God's enemy, to own the earth. Supernatural abundance of financial empowerment gives God's people access to the wealth of their father. It is the right of God's people to control kingdom resources. Today, the children of darkness, occult people, seem to be in charge of the wealth of the world, much more than the children of the kingdom. And it is an error. It is an error because there is no precedence in Scripture. The wealthiest person in the day of Abraham was Abraham. There is no precedence in Scripture. Nobody was bigger than Isaac in Isaac's time. Nobody was bigger than Jacob. Nobody was bigger than Job. The Bible says Job was the wealthiest man in the East. Nobody was bigger than Solomon, like you know. Nobody was bigger than David. Now, I want us to embrace this with a sense of jealousy. You know the way people fight over parents' property that the enemy wants to take? That this is our father's land. This is our father's property. This land belongs to our community. Why is it that the other community wants to take it? The way we fight it, not necessarily because I am trying to look for money, but I feel like my God is being insulted. You know how they carry the money of God and use it to push drugs, use it to push cocaine, use it to send people into prostitution? Use it to sponsor terrorism and kill people en masse. And you are saying, look, I cannot be on the earth and the wealth that belongs to my father is in the hands of the enemy of my maker, using it to send people to hell prematurely. You attack it with a sense of jealousy, a sense of vengeance. Am I communicating at all? Very, very important. Very, very, the time has come where the children of God, well, it's not a matter of if I make it, I make it, if I don't make it, I don't, no. It's a matter of this thing belongs to my father and I must conquer it. I must conquer it. I must take delivery of it. I must take delivery of it. It must exchange hands. It must leave the hands of the wrong people and enter into the hands of the right people. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. I was talking with a man some time ago, and the man said, called me for, we're praying. It's one of the people that is under the coverage of this mantle. He said that they are calling him everywhere, African countries, their presidents, and they will say, okay, take our gold deposit and manage it for us. Take our iron ore and manage it for us. Come and build a gold refinery for us. And we're talking. I told him, I said, there is an opportunity. He said they told him in one of the countries to come and carry gold and just take the gold. I said, there is an opening somewhere in the Middle East, in Dubai, where you can take the gold to, and they will refine. They say, no. He said, no. That it is better, it's preferable for him to build a gold refinery by himself in the country there. Yes. I said, is that right? Oh, yes. He just unraveled it. It's preferable. See, only about $2 or $3 million will be able to, about $3 million should be able to build, should be able to build that. He said, I thought it was heavier than that. I said, no, people didn't know. And I told him prophetically, I said that they'll be looking for you in the Caribbean. He said they're already looking for him. That three presidents from South American areas have called him. I was very excited because that is called resource control. Where nations are calling you to take over their resources. Where governments are calling you to take over. He told me, he said, there was somebody who was doing that for some of these people before, who is of the other religion. But they realized he was not effective in doing that for them. And once they saw him, they latched to him. Beloved brothers and sisters, let there be that sense. I am so happy with the testimony that Brother Oddie gave, where he refused to bow the way other people bow before his checks will be released. I want us to come to the point where we make a vow with ourselves and with God that we are going to do it right, but we are going to possess and take delivery of what is ours. So, supernatural abundance, financial empowerment gives God's people access to the wealth of their Father. Number 8, supernatural abundance or financial empowerment leads to the enhancement of spiritual life quality. The enhancement of spiritual life quality. The quality of our spiritual lives can be enhanced if we are not battling with shortage or scarcity or anything like that. In Psalm 22 and in verse 26, it said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. The outcome of that satisfaction is that they shall praise the Lord that seek him. They shall seek him, and their heart shall live forever. Where you are not battling with getting resources, getting Bible resources, when you are not battling with this or that, you are not battling with rent or battling with this or that, enhancement of spiritual life's quality. In fact, where there is no bank on your neck. I was talking with a man yesterday. He said he has not borrowed money from a bank since he started work, and he will never borrow. I prayed on his job of 120 something billion naira. He has not borrowed once. He will not borrow. That's what he said. Whatever job they gave him, he has enough resources to start it up. That is, don't give me mobilization. That's another level, isn't it? And somebody is reaching there. If you are the one reaching there, say louder, amen. If you are the one reaching there, say louder, amen. I am happy to see you, sir. Where have you been? Oh, you are in Taraba. Huh? Okay. You were in Wukari in Taraba State.
Yes, sir.
Which year did you come here and return there?
2017 was the last time you saw me when I was afflicted.
Oh, yes. I remember 2017, that was 4 years ago.
Yes, sir.
He was afflicted with insanity. As a lecturer, right?
No, I'm an engineer with Works and Physical Planning Department, sir.
Works and Physical Planning Department, he was afflicted with a spirit of insanity, demonic affliction, and it returned back to hell.
Yes, sir.
It returned back to hell since.
Yes, sir.
Return back to hell. Return back to the senders. Since, never to return. That's why I'm so happy to see you. Congratulations. He came to present himself to me again. I'm happy to see you. I don't forget such testimonies. I don't forget such testimonies. Congratulations. Don't cry. I'll see you again. Hallelujah. One of the things I'm excited about is testimonies that are durable. Testimonies that are durable. God did it, and it is durable. How are you, sir? That witch that looked for your trouble, where is she now? She's in the grave now. He went to dedicate borehole in his village, and the witch visited him that night. Twisted his neck. When he woke up, neck was stiff, side was paralyzed. They admitted him in the hospital. He came from the hospital on Sunday with IV line on his hand. I prayed for him by 1 o'clock. Send the arrow back to sender. By 3 o'clock, he received the news that the witch that attacked him that night was laid to rest. The same Sunday. Hallelujah. This is part of the testimony. Can God, who is doing all this, not give you a financial blast? That amen is too paralyzed. If you believe a financial, massive, humongous financial turnaround will come your way shortly, shout the loudest amen. Shout the loud most amen. Shout the loud most amen. Take your seat. And so, supernatural abundance and financial empowerment leads to enhancement of spiritual life quality. Number 9, supernatural abundance and financial empowerment leads to the enhancement of vocal power for the church. Vocal power. Money gives voice. It gives voice. Financial power is the companion of vocal power. The poor man's voice is never heard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 14. And his wisdom is always despised. There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it. And built great bulwarks against it. He said, now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said, thy wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. And his words are not heard. God wants to give you a voice. Wants to give the church mega voice. By filling the church with millionaires and multi-millionaires and billionaires that will be talking to government and institutions on the behalf of the church. They cannot look down on you. They can't look down on me. They can't look down on us because the church has power. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Very, 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 very important. Very important. That was number 9. Number 10, financial, supernatural abundance and financial empowerment is the doorway to generational influence. The doorway to generational influence. Financial power provokes generational influence. That is, it is easier to influence your generation with massive resources than without it. It is easier for a whole community to be influenced with massive resources than without it. These verses are very, very, very touching. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20. Proverbs 14, 20. I'd like you to help me read it. Want to go? That is, his offense was poverty. What provokes the hatred is scarcity. That is, the poverty is a challenge. But the fact that he has even his family members who hate him. I know people that they are giving them proverb. Your mate is building a house for their mother. Your mate has bought a car for his wife. And so on. The poor is hated. Even by his neighbor. But the rich has many friends. The meaning of that is, resources bring attraction. That is, you compel attention and attraction. I'll come back to that later. And people must be attracted before they can be influenced. It is hard for you to preach to who hates you. It is hard for you to preach to who hates you. It's hard for you to convince anybody who is biased towards you. The poor is hated. So look at himself. Look at his trousers. Look at his shoes. All right. Take a look at this other one. It is the twin of that one. Proverbs 19:7. It's worse. Read it out. Everybody want to go. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursued them with words, yet they are wanting to him. They are running. He's using words. They say his word money. His word money. Don't speak. Speak in cash. But the meaning of that is you can convert a whole village with massive resources. Here you come with a borehole. Here you come with elimination of poverty, lined up the widows, and give everybody cloth. Here you came with electricity to power the transformer, to power their systems over there. Here you came with scholarship for their children. Here you came with empowerment for their women. And now you say, I want to let you know Jesus loves you. They say, we are aware. We are seeing the love you are talking about. Anybody who wants to give your life to Christ, lift your hand. He said, excuse me, sir, is two hands an offense? Can I lift two hands and lift one leg at least, since I can't lift two legs? This is practical. Financial resources, when you have an understanding, is gospel made easy. It is made easy. Made easy. It's not speaking to anybody here at all. That is why the devil wants to keep money out of the hands of church people. That is why they stay as poor as church rats. So that the people continue to struggle. Or those who have the money don't know the meaning of the money. Some time ago, we just graded a road in my village, about 17 kilometers long road, graded the road, did some primary school fence, one or two little things. The people of the village, during an election, some people came and they said, what are you coming for? What are you coming for? What have you ever done for us? You see, how they wish the pastor who did this road can come and tell them who to vote for. What did you do for us? This is the first time we have seen you, and after this election is the last time we'll see you. A young man came to me, was in the university at that time, relation of mine. And he came asking me to give him money for school. So I gave him money. I gave him abundantly. Just lavished him with the money. And I said, what about giving your life to Christ? He said, why not? Now, I didn't preach to him first so that he doesn't get angry. Is it because you want to give me money? I just lavished him with the money. And I said, so what about giving your life to Christ? He said, why not? Surrendered his heart, his life, his everything on the spot. He has not turned back till today. He's making money, millions of his own, today. After he finished the university, I gave him 200,000 naira. He said he wants to start some little business. I gave him 200,000. Okay, whatever you want, just start. He said he wanted to buy kerosene or something to sell, and he needs 200. I gave him 200,000. Under 1 month, he returned the 200,000 as profit offering. He has not recovered from it till today. Himself leading other people and other lives to Christ today. Am I communicating? I prophesy to somebody today. Scarcity will never know your address. I prophesy supernatural supplies. The resources shall flow into your hands, and you shall know what to do with it. In the name of Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Generational influence. Now, if Poverty makes people run away. Wealth makes people to come your way. And that is not the most exciting part. The most exciting part is that you need to have people so you can influence. You need people around your life so you can change their lives. And you need that platform that makes them to come so you can change your life. That was number 9, right? Supernatural abundance of financial empowerment establishes societal authority. This is different still from generational impact. Societal authority. A person in prosperity is a person in authority. Societal authority. Societal authority. We mentioned about Joseph of Arimathea, who was called a rich disciple that went and summoned and demanded for the body of Jesus, and Pilate summoned the people that handed the body of Jesus to him. Peter couldn't have done that. I'm sure you remember that. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. When the evening was come, there came, is it a poor disciple, a poor man, they said? There came who? A rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged. That word is the word demanded. The body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded. He demanded, Pilate commanded. And the body was granted. This was the time Peter was hiding for his life. This was the time that James and all the others were wondering whether they would be crucified along. This man boldly came out and said, I belong to him. I belong with him. Authority, authority, authority. Financial authority. Somebody told me a funny story. Rich young man. He was inside an aircraft first class. And he sat with a man by his side. He told the man, he said, me and you are similar in many ways. The man said, yes. We are sitting in this place together. He said, yes. You have money, I have money. He said, yes. He said, but there is something I have you don't have. He said, really? What is that? Jesus Christ. Oh, really? Tell me more about it. Authority. Listen to this. It is easier for a billionaire to talk to a billionaire about faith. There is a group of people we may never reach if we dwell in poverty. Am I communicating at all? There is a category of people, because money makes people like demigods. They move about like they are in charge of everything. And they look at everybody and talk down on everybody. And that is a mission field of his own. It's a mission field. The billionaires in Naira in dollar, the billionaires in Naira in dollar, they are a mission field of their own. To live in poverty and scarcity and shortage limits our impact. Not just getting money, but having plenty of it. For the right reasons. When they know. When they know. When they know. That what you have. What they have you have. And you have more of it. More of it. I was talking with a man the other day. Sending him. Asking him to. Send an, to carry out an assignment. On our behalf. He said, don't worry, I will send my bank MD. Yes, he will send. For the assignment, he will send the MD to carry out the task. So who is he? That's right. That is, bank MD arrived somewhere with an errand. Say, what do you want? Say, I'm the MD of so-and-so bank. I came. Haba. These things, they level. Now, you combine financial authority with spiritual authority. You are a double dynamite. You are a danger, mobile danger. Am I communicating? You are danger walking. I remember when I went to preach somewhere, it was filled with all categories of people. President, governors, everybody. By the time I finished declaring brutally, and I came fully confident of who I am, I said, everyone here, be on your knees. Everyone went on their knees. Out of respect, I joined everybody. Let's talk. See, do you understand what I'm saying? There is a level to which you are thinking and operating and functioning to be able to make such a decree. It takes authority to talk to authority. And so you must make up your mind that to be able to reach every category of people in your lifetime, you must be an authority, spiritual authority, and inclusive of financial authority. Take your seat. Now, another thing you must know is that systems are influenced from up down, not from down up. Systems are influenced from the top to the bottom. What do I mean? It is easier for the vice chancellor of the university to preach to the messenger than vice versa. It is easier for the head of a, oh now somebody can actually come, the chairman, managing director, or the chief executive officer of the whole corporation. It's easier for him to say, I received from the Lord. Even if he didn't receive from the Lord. He said, I want to demand that 12 to 1, every day for the next 1 week, there is prayer in this office. All right, everybody will be meeting at the assembly ground or wherever is the place. And there are 2,000 employees, 5,000 employees, 10,000 employees, 25,000 employees. And everyone bowed to the decree of this chief executive. No, the golden rule says, do unto others what you want others to do for you. That is one golden rule. Another one says, those who have the gold, make the rules. And everybody comes. All right. I have my child dedication at the Dunamis International Gospel Center Glory Dome this coming Sunday. All you 5,000 employees, you are invited. This is the chief executive officer inviting. Meet you all there. You may have your church, but for that Sunday, and you may not go to church at all. But CEO invited you to church. As a matter of fact, for the fact that following God made him this successful, then I want to follow the same God. If he is a fool and going to church is foolish, I like this kind of foolishness. Eh? Then one messenger came one afternoon and said, excuse me, all of you, I received a revelation. all everybody should fast this coming Wednesday, including the chairman of the organization. That's the messenger came. The question they were asking me, say, where you say you were sleeping before you saw it? Maybe he has malaria. Can they get for him the services of a psychiatrist? He might be having visual hallucinations and auditory hallucinations. Have you chopped today? It may be one of the signs of the... Are you following what I'm saying here? This thing may be funny to you, but I want you to come to the point where you are effortlessly impactful. You are an effortless authority. And those of us who are already there and don't know what it is, you are hearing what it is now. The reason why God takes you up is so that you can influence systems from the top down. The reason why God takes you up is so that you can influence people positively from the top down. The reason why God takes you up is so that you can shape destinies from the top down. Very, very important. Don't leave the people only to their salaries. Don't leave them only to their allowances. Give them something bigger and better than salary. Connect them with eternity, with God in heaven. Somebody say a loud amen. My time that I set for myself is up. But can I get another 20 minutes? All right, let's go. That was point number 10. 11, supernatural abundance of financial empowerment facilitates kingdom mission. Kingdom mission. My city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. My city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. Whereas I'm spreading my city's true prosperity. We are in Enugu on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we'll be returning back here. We'll be somewhere in Nasarawa State, beyond that, Bauchi State, Adamawa State, I think Ebonyi State, and then till end, Ilorin is there, Ibadan is there, and till end of the year we're in Lagos at the anniversary of the church. There is none of these crusades that an offering is taken. The Enugu pastor texted me yesterday, and he said that they have spent so many millions in publicity and this and that and that and that and that. And if they can receive a little push, anything from 30 million and above or something, it's all right. It is handled. We'll go ahead and get it done. Now, and we go for the crusade. Not 13.13. And we go for, now far in excess of that has been spent already. And we go for the crusade. You preach. Souls are saved, bodies are healed, destinies are transformed, and not one offering is taken from the crusade ground. Because we went for souls, not for the money. We went for their souls. God said, I want to baptize you with massive resources. So that if it is possible for crusade to happen daily, except that the preacher and the other people need to rest a bit in between. And to strategize and plan for the next one. My city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Now, one of the things that will be happening at the crusades as well is the church planting that will be going on, church planting dimension, satellite harvest center church planting, and I'm speaking now more like an instruction to the Enugu church now, between January and now, I think satellite churches in Makurdi has exploded. As at the last time I went, I think they have about 10 or 12 or more satellite churches planted from the crusade. That is, places planted where the souls that came out for the crusade can be settled and be discipled. Do you understand what I'm saying? So to plant a church takes facility, it takes resources, it takes pain of pastor, take pain of assistant pastor, and take all manner of things. So he said, I will give massive resources so that this thing can spread around the country and spread around the nation. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? My city's true prosperity shall be yet be spread abroad for the powering of kingdom mission. That was number 12. Number 13, it is now for the establishment of generationally impacting institutions. The establishment, supernatural abundance, financial empowerment is necessary for the establishment of generationally impacting institutions. Generationally impacting institutions. What do I mean by that? If you are finding it difficult, you say facilitates the establishment of generationally impacting institutions. Generationally impacting. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15. Matthew 5, 14, 15. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city. So we are to become the city that is set on a hill. How many of you remember that Abraham dug a well? That well serviced the community. Jacob dug wells. The man called Tyrannus built a school. That school was used by Paul the Apostle. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 19. I think verse 8, 9, 10, thereabout. The school, he separated himself to the school of one Tyrannus. Yes. Now, let me open your eyes. How many of us know that university institution in this world would not have been possible without the church? One of the oldest institutions in the world, Cambridge, Oxford, Harvard, John Hopkins, and 7 out of 8 over 10 of the top universities you have ever heard about globally were founded by church. If church didn't found them, now some of them were individuals. I think it was Hopkins that was a churchman and his wife. If they were not founded by church, then civilization will be buried. Some of the religions of this world that make a lot of noise contribute nothing but disaster, destruction. 99% of the inventions in this world came from the church. Do you know that close to 50% of healthcare, that is hospitals in the world, came from the church? I went to St. Francis Primary School. That is Catholic. I went to Wesley High School, secondary school. That is Methodist. And you have people who went to St. Thomas, St. this and that, St. Teresa's Hospital. I did some little work in a hospital called Our Lady of Apostles Hospital, a Catholic hospital in Jos, just slightly. And if you are to Ekwa Jankwanu Hospital in Jos, you have Methodist Hospital, the Bethsaida Methodist Hospital in Ikachini in Benue State. There was one of those theater. What do you call it? Theater assistants. That was trained by the white people, who is now almost training doctors how to operate. Theater assistant. One consultant told me, he said, this man, if he cut off a man's head, he can suture it back. He's just telling me how dangerous the man is in terms of his versatility. I met the man myself, we're talking. I didn't know. I said, well, which fellowship did you go? Is your qualification from fellow of the world? Kind of fellow of the area, they always say, no, no, no fellowship. And then they now told me the story. This, now, America itself, I can't remember the exact figure now, but in some states, 8 over 10 are mission hospitals, majorly Catholic. Remove all of that from the world, and the world is collapsing. That is what church money is for. That is why God wants to empower us. Who talks about orphanages if not churches? Orphanages. Hello? Who talks about old people's homes? Except some fraudulent thieves who are trying to steal money. Societally impacting institutions. I prophesy to somebody here. In your days, you will impact your world. You will impact your world. You will impact your world. In the name of Jesus. Number 13. 14. Supernatural abundance of financial empowerment is key to poverty alleviation and charity administration. Poverty alleviation and charity administration. To delete poverty by empowering people to administer charity. This is made possible by massive financial resources. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 35, we saw the story of the Good Samaritan. How on the road he saw a man minister to him, and that was the basis of his neighborliness. A priest passed, a Levite passed, but they failed the test, maybe because of poverty. How many of you know that poverty can make a good person look wicked? Scarcity, shortage, can make you look like a wicked, apart from, of course, people who are wealthy wicked, wicked wealthy people. They are there. But this priest passed by with all his preaching. The spirit is willing, but the pocket was wanting. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Levite passed by. Until the stranger Samaritan passed. And he was able to do something. There are many of us here today. Hear me. You will wipe out poverty from your whole community. God will use you. God will use you. God will use you. God will use you to administer massive resources to whole communities. If you believe in that, shout the loudest amen. If you believe that shall happen for you, shout the loudest amen. Shout amen like a believer. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded and they should not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. For what purpose? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, to release, so that they can lay for themselves a store against the time to come. Somebody say a louder amen. There are those who say, I want to set up my foundation, non-governmental, something foundation. And many of these foundations today are things that people are using to steal a lot of money. All right? I have a foundation. My foundation. I just set up a foundation. And then I am sourcing for, what do you call it now? Financiers? What is the name of those people? I'm sourcing for grants, sourcing for funding. I've sourced for fund from United Nations. I've sourced for fund from WHO, whatever. Funding from everywhere. And now they just brought me 3 million euros. Out of these 3 million euros, he bought one house in Lekki. Bought another house in Maitama, and then bought the latest new, brand new Jeep, and then he used 500,000 to pay the staff, and then he went and bought pure water and start distributing in the village and snap picture. These people don't have water to drink. What wickedness. Most of those people, they think they call if I have foundation, they are criminals. Laziness of what to do with their lives. They don't have capacity to make money. So now, I told somebody the other day and said, I want to do a foundation. I said, what business are you doing? You should make your money to sponsor your foundation. That is how to do it. That is how to do it. You make your money. You are a billionaire. Billionaire, millionaire, multi-millionaire. And then a major, now 10% is your tithe, so and so percent is your this, so and so percent is your that, and so percent is your welfare. That welfare covers the foundation you are running. If your friend who is a co-billionaire will donate to your foundation, that is money meeting money. Like Warren Buffett gave $40 billion at once to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. That is, I know you are doing a good thing with your money. Well, doing a good thing with your money. And take my money. I trust you with it. Am I communicating at all? That is what I'm trusting that God will do with people here today. That God will put so much money in your hands. And out of the massiveness of the money he has put in your hands, you are doing so much for the kingdom. And a major part of it is set aside to touch life. Somebody is getting something here today. Say amen. Don't misunderstand me. Money always attracts money. By the time you are doing major, mega things, people will begin to look for you to say, take the money. We can trust you with money. We can trust you. We see what you are doing with your own money. We can trust you with more money. We know if we give you the money is safe. Because you are not looking for money to drive a car. You are not looking for money to fly a plane. You can buy an airplane by yourself. Somebody say amen. Very, very soon when we go for crusades, many of you will fly your plane there. The reason why many can't say amen because it's not, they don't think it's possible. But I can tell you, with God, all things are possible. It is not as hard as you think. I tell you, with God, all things are possible. Many of you own your commercial airlines, private charter plane corporations, and you will be able to do that. Massive. So you are not looking for money to buy a plane. You are not looking for money to buy a house. You have a house. You have a plane. So you have the money you have is to service the needs of people. And those who know you are doing the right thing with money direct will direct the money in your hands. Something is happening to somebody. That somebody say louder, amen. Once again, I'll have to finish very, very shortly. And so we have this for poverty alleviation and charity administration. Number 15, financial abundance, supernatural abundance and financial empowerment is the guarantee for the fulfillment of personal vision and purpose. Personal vision and purpose. Personal vision and purpose. Well, there may be a personal vision, and visions can vary. Tiny vision to mega vision. This vision can also include vision to do something for your community or do something for your mother, your father, and so on. I came across a young man who's, I told the story many times, this young man was a drunkard. I mean, father was a drunkard. And he was in medical school, 200 level, the University of Ibadan. And he was about to drop out of school because he had no money anymore. The mother ran to me and said, my son is in 200 level medical school. He cannot finish school. The father is a drunkard. He can't even take care of him. I don't have enough money. And the young man asked me, he said, and I told the mother, I said, it is done because I'm a medical doctor. My wife is. And we know what it takes to get one admission into medical school. You have gotten it. You can't lose it. And so I took him up. I was sponsoring him from my pocket. Church was also sponsoring him. So he was more like getting two pocket monies per time. By the time he finished from second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, and then graduated housemanship, he finished. And he came with his certificate. One word he said is, thank you, sir, for helping me fulfill my vision. For helping me realize the vision of becoming a doctor. That was a vision. From that vision, it could lead on to anything. Now, like I said, many of us are seated here. There's a young man among us here. That guy is almost like a wizard in terms of inventions. He can do anything. He can do for you, charger for you, anything. Solar, anything. I mean, it's so natural with him. And I told him, I said, you need to patent some of these inventions. Yes, sir. You need to patent, international patent in America, patent in Asia, in China, and then local Nigerian national patent. Yes. And also, let's move it forward and get it to production. All was hinged on money. And I told him, do whatever it takes. I know of a man who invented a electromagnetodynamic machine. It is a perpetual motion machine where the vehicle can drive from here to South Africa without fuel. The only what makes it move is the motion converts mechanical energy to electrical energy and just converts it and just keeps the vehicle moving. That is with a magnetic field. That man died without that vision coming to pass. I personally supported with the little amount then that we could. That is how wicked poverty is. I'm telling you, that is how wicked. You know, I called you and I told you about the man. That this man, that's the man who has so and so invention. Let's see what can be done. By the time I called the man, so I will say he has died. Hi. I said, what is this? Look at that. In the book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. The day I saw this passage, it was almost heartbreaking. He said, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The destruction of the poor. So poverty is not a situation, it's a person. It's a spiritual entity. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And who is he talking about? The devil. The devil is a destroyer. Poverty is a destroyer. So what is the equation? A equals B, B equals C. The devil is a destroyer. Poverty is a destroyer. What's the meaning? Poverty is a devil. The devil, whole communities. How many people died because they couldn't afford Medicare? And if they had the money, they would have lived. That's the destruction of the poor. How many people have been killed of hunger? Hunger, belly hunger is killing me. People talk like that. I'm sure I don't know how they say it in your language, but they say, hunger is killing me. Kill. The word is kill. Ebi Npami. Is that Yoruba? What's the meaning? Hunger is killing me. Am I communicating? The destruction of the, you see, so that is why, so many visions cut short. That was why Archbishop Benson in the House of Blessed Memory said, anointing without money is annoyance. You know what to do, but how to do it for where? The harvest is ripe, but no means of moving into the harvest. I can tell you the way the crusades have happened in this season. Only with massive resources. We are coming back on Saturday night. There is you don't go to any airport in Nigeria and say, I'm looking for a flight to Abuja by 10 p.m. like the way we left Asaba. in Asaba, there were two private aircrafts waiting on us to pick us back. In Port Harcourt, there were three to pick us, pick the ICT crew, and pick as many as could be picked. We are now thinking of renting maybe a 50-seater aircraft for now. We are thinking of that because I don't know how you feel, but I'm about to fly back in the night on Saturday, and then others are to travel by road the next day. I don't feel normal. I don't feel normal. My wife knows in my house, if you haven't served people, don't bring food near me. Yeah? He said lunch is ready. I said, have the people been served? He said, no. I said, so what? So is there any discussion? Let the people be served first. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Without massiveness of resources, the gospel can't be preached the way it should be preached. And poverty is a major abortioner of vision. If that word is a correct word to use. It's a major abortioner of vision. Poverty, lack, scarcity. And I'm talking about scarcity in various levels. There are some people, what they need is not $1 million naira. It is $1 million. And that $1 million is fighting their vision. There is somebody what needs right now is $10 million. Just to be able to move his or her life and what he or she does to the next level and affect so many lives. Let me ask you a question. That person who is enjoying his life, he has a car, has a house, has a driver driving him, and that is all. And that person who has an organization that has employed 1,000 people, who is affecting their generation more? Without any doubt, at least 1,000 families are tied to your destiny. By mistake, one of them may pray for you. Father, bless that man who has employed my husband. Let his money not finish, so that our job can be secured. Without any doubt. Temple University, who wrote a book titled Acres of Diamond, Russell Conwell, you know what he said? He said, more good is done with money than without money. He's a Christian, this man. He said the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself is not easy without money. You have a car, your neighbor doesn't have a car. Love him as yourself. Will you give him your car and walk? All right. If you have enough money and you really like the person, you buy him a car. But if you don't have the money and you really like the person, you are unable to fulfill that commandment. He didn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. That is, whatever you can achieve for yourself, try to achieve it for at least a neighbor. And so he said that commandment is not easy to fulfill in scarcity. Very, very important. Don't forget that passage, that the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Lift up your right hand and say, no destroyer can destroy my life. No destroyer can destroy my destiny, including poverty. No destroyer can destroy my future, can destroy my vision, including poverty. I say no! In the name of Jesus. 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 That was point number 16 now. I think I'll stop at probably number 17. Supernatural abundance and financial empowerment is the doorway to the provision of generational answers. The provision of generational answers. Generational answers. There are many questions in life, but money carries a lot of answers. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 19. A feast is made for laughter, wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. All manner of answers, all manner of answers. All manner of answers, all manner of answers. At a point where it's talk regarding the air conditioning system here, so much money has been spent, many, 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 many zeros. Money that can build some mini estate, man. Oh, yeah. You're not talking of 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. No, 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 no. That's not what you're talking about. We had three quotations. I think the least of them was 1 point something or almost 2 billion to be able to air condition a small room like this. So, by the time we moved with this, we came to a point where, okay, what do we move? We realized that there was a power situation that was going to cost at least 100 and almost 20 something million to make this power to work. If you are filled with questions, maybe what may bring answer will be some resources. Money, answer it. Do you know that there are people who have been in coma for 15 years? Their family want them to still remain alive. They are paying for oxygen daily. They are paying for nasogastric tube feeding daily. They are paying everything daily. Let him still remain alive. Right? The other people say, oh, we are tired. They pull off the oxygen flow and every other thing, and then under four minutes, the man is gone. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. I said that will never be your portion. I said that will never be your portion. I said that will never be your portion. Lift your right hand, I prophesy to you today, answers, 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 that shall be your portion. Answers, 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 shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Can I go to number 17? Is that a number? Number 17. Financial abundance. Supernatural abundance and financial empowerment is critical for the confirmation of character. The confirmation of character. The character of people hardly manifests in poverty. You don't really know who people are when they don't have money. There can be acquired humility syndrome. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. He said, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that is in money matters, who will commit to your trust true riches? Abraham Lincoln said, almost everybody can stand adversity, and that includes poverty. Almost everybody. But if you want to measure a man's character, give him power. Give him money. Whether it is political power or financial power, that is when you know who a person is. Most people in Africa especially in some places, who begin to marry second wives or third. They didn't do it in seasons of poverty. Otherwise, it would be a confirmation of insanity. It's when they think, I have so much money, and my current wife is no longer equal to this new status. Most people who sponsor killers, they don't sponsor it in poverty. Most people who take over other people's properties, they have enough money to bribe whoever they want to bribe. Most people who don't want to go to church anymore, they feel they have enough. So what is the use of God? You need to have plenty money so that you yourself can confirm your character. So you can confirm your, that is, you are still humble. Your prayer life is still 4-5 hours non-stop. You have 1 billion, 10 billion in the account. You have aircraft waiting on you anytime that you can step in. You don't need to say, what time is aero contractor moving? Or what is the time for Arik? Airpiece. No. You just show up anytime you are set and take off. And that is to anywhere in the world. You show up and take off. Pilots are waiting on you. Nobody is ordering you off your phone, do this or that, except where necessary. Sir, what will you eat? There are many options. And then you come out of that and went on your knees. And you are lying down for the next 3 hours in prayer. And you are there for the next 7 days in fasting. And you are still there in church before everybody came. And if somebody see you on the road, he won't know you have 1 naira. Because there is no air. Your shoulders are still normal. You haven't become a peacock. If you don't have any reason to have money, please let money check your character. Otherwise, you can be deceiving yourself that you are humble. And it is half that you don't have. Did you hear it in vernacular? You may be deceiving yourself that you are humble. You are very spiritual. Not knowing that it is half that you don't have. It's half that you don't. If you had, people will hear anything. You hear anything. I mean, you just oppress everybody in the neighborhood. Beep! Move your keke napep from this road. Stand up on your feet. Look at your neighbor. Say, I need to check my character with massive resources. I'm telling you. And it's so exciting. It's so exciting to know that God has taken you to a level. But nobody seeing you will ever know. That is when resources and position and power and influence becomes sweet. Very sweet. You can easily actually buy up that house. But you just came and you are saying, good morning, sir, I'm looking for someone here. God wants to take us to a level where only Him will take the glory. Only Him will be seen, will be heard, will be felt. Where spirituality is authentic. Where humility is real. You come to the point where, like, what do you call? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will. But in case he doesn't, no, nothing changes. Our disposition towards him does not change. If you see God, ask him by his message, my fire has not dropped, or passion or drive. I think it's worse now. From when we were in one room, my wife and I, our first child, my wife's cousin, stepsister, one other person, all in one room. And I was pastoring in this same town. To this time. In those days, you look at people and they are living in two-bedroom high-rise. And it looked like it's the highest achievement in this world. Till today, when nothing can be called a testimony. Praise the Lord. I just got a duplex. Cannot. It hasn't dropped by his message. By now, we shouldn't be doing street evangelism anymore. Like we went on Saturday. Linguistic place. No road to go. At a point, we almost turned back. No road to go. I think our two buses stuck on the road there. And that is when it is sweet. When God is able to trust you with any level of resources and not lose you. There are people God gave them money and he lost them. He gave them power and lost them. He gave them resources, he lost them. So he said, let me not lose this one. Let me leave you like that. So you can end in heaven at the end. That make you president and you roast in hell forever. That make you a billionaire. And you undo everything I have done in your life. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. Before I close tonight, I want to let you know that there is something heavier than being blessed. And that is being a blessing. I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. Being blessed is good. We'll look at that extensively in the next meeting. What does it mean to be really blessed? I thought I'll step into that briefly tonight. And then also look at the real problem with money. Why it looks like money is terrible. Because there are places, churches, where they will never talk about money at all. But there are those who want to survive. Have a car, have a house, have this. There are those who are blessed. But the highest level, it's not just survival mode or being blessed, but becoming a blessing. What we will ask God tonight is, Father, what you have for me in this life, generally in my destiny and in financial resources, prepare me for it. Because for most of us, what God has in mind for you is ready for you. The problem is that you are not ready for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like I have a car for my child, but it's not up to the age to drive. It's like I have so and so for so and so person. That's how it is. Many things are ready for us, but we are not ready for them. Father, and it's better for God to use revelation to teach you than to use frustration. It's better for him to teach you by your choice than for him to teach you by force. If you doubt me, ask Nebuchadnezzar. What he learned by force. So, now, what is the will of God concerning you and supernatural supplies and resources? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as I so prosper. There are people, only 10 million or 100 million makes them lose their straightness. They are not straight anymore. They have to change some papers and change figures and tell some lies. Then what will you do with 10 billion? You will sell person then. Just some. God took them to a level small. Then straightness is lost. Honesty is lost. Accountability is lost. Spirituality is lost. Humility is lost. That's the problem. That is the problem. When you see, when you hear and see some things, you can never blame God. You see, I have a plan. There are people, we see them rise like this. After a while, you don't hear anything again. Father, prepare me for what you have for me. Do you know that, as all of us are now, God knows our tendencies? You know, when he judged the house of Jeroboam, he said something I will never forget. Maybe the next meeting, if you remind me, I will show you the scripture. He said that all male should be cut off from the house of Jeroboam. And then he mentioned about the child, that the child will be the only child that was born that will be buried normally. He said, because in him has God found some good thing. That is a baby that has not yet behaved. God already saw what he will behave if he behaved. The Bible said when Esau and Jacob had not had opportunity to manifest so that anybody will know how they will behave, he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Okay, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing. A little child, oh, God has found some good thing toward the Lord in the house of Jeroboam, inside a child that has not behaved yet. God knew when this child grows up, his behavior will be good. Some good things, some not totally, some. Jacob have you loved? Esau have you hated? Why do you love Jacob? Why do you hate Esau? People always quarrel with God. Is God partial? No. He knows what Esau will do tomorrow. And he also knew, he knew what Esau will do. He knew what Jacob will do. So he concluded today. He declares the end. He sees the end from the beginning. So he does not need to wait for the end to declare what he has seen. But the destiny of Esau was not closed. Esau had the opportunity for a change of story, but Esau never applied or employed the opportunity. And when we look, when we see again, maybe we might talk about that. So Lord, stretch me. Whatever you have for me that I am not ready for, please make me ready. Make me ready. Help me to be ready. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice. First thing to do is to thank the Lord for the word tonight. Lift your voice and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercies towards my life. Thank you, Lord, for your word to me tonight. In the name of Jesus, I receive your help. I receive your mercy. In Jesus' name. Open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth and speak to God. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and lift your voices and say after me, say, Father, help me, Lord, to be ready for what is ready for me. Help me, Lord. Now, one thing we must all know is that God wants to do a very massive work in this end time. So there is massive wealth transfer coming. Are you going to take your portion? Stretch your hands and say, Father, help me to be ready for what is ready for me. Deliver me from every character, every tendency, every future tendency that may deprive me of what you have in store for me. Deliver me from every present tendency and every future tendency that may deprive me of what you have in store for me. Deliver me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you today, between today and the next time we shall meet. The Lord has shifted you already. Between today and the next time we shall meet, the Lord has changed your story. I decree that systems will lose their peace, their sleep, and their rest until everything that is yours enters your hands. In the name of Jesus! Father, give us a testimony. Out of today's meeting, countless testimonies. I decree that the Lord will open your eyes, open your ears, open your understanding. Open your mind to the opportunities ahead of you, to the season that we are in, that it will move you into the realm where you will conquer massive resources, you will conquer multiplied resources, you will conquer heavy resources. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you. Because it is done. If you are here tonight, the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If the first thing and the most important thing you need to do is to hand over your life to Christ, you will pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help.